Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Start and stop it.
listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hines. Now, my very special guest today is Linda C. You guys know her. She helps to co-host this amazing new segment on our broadcast called Hairpreneur, which is all about, well, from the ground up, on starting your business. Again, it's my honor to welcome back the amazing Linda C. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, hairpreneurs. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Doing just great. Now, I am excited because this is our third outing in terms of our episodes. Yes, so it's like a show within a show right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So first, let's start at the beginning, Linda C. Remind everybody what Hairpreneur is all about and where are you?
Well, right now I'm out of West Orange, New Jersey. And, well, Hairpreneur is all about helping others, you know, get their business from the ground up, like Carrie mentioned, about helping men and women out here who wants to come and, you know, do their hair business, whether it's a brick and mortar store, whether it's online business. And so we're here to give advice and to kind of share stories, how to help our hairpreneur listeners. And even if you're not in the hair industry, you can apply all these tips that Carrie and at times I may give you to share with my stories that can help you build your business. So that's why I'm here. And I've actually on the brinks of starting my luxury hair extension right now, and it's building, and Carrie's been helping me and giving pointers. So that's how we started. And, you know, he's the brainchild of Hairpreneur, and we're talking and said, you know what? We should start a segment where we can give advice because he's the one and only hair radio show that is like this. And there are radio shows out there, but not like this one. So not at all. So I'm very grateful to be here and to be invited to be part of this this wonderful journey, and hopefully to be a regular with you guys to kind of chat, and you guys can call in at times to talk about, you know, your adventures and starting the business, and even the businesses that are striving. What are you doing? What can you assist with the ones that are struggling and trying to get their business up and running?
Absolutely, and we definitely will get into the subject of the day, as you mentioned. But I mean, I love the conversation we were just having before we got on the air today, and talking about these businesses that have persevered and made it through the pandemic. But it was a very big struggle, and folks were having a difficult time. So, you know, you guys out there, you need this. This is what you need. This will fortify your spirit and keep you moving, right, in the right direction. Yeah. So real, real happy. And again, welcome to the third installment, our third episode of Hairpreneur from the Ground Up. I'm Carrie Hines with Linda C., from Northern New Jersey. So, yes, we got to work in the Northern New Jersey.
Oh, I keep forgetting. Now,
that's okay. We want the folks up there. Yes, we very much are. And it's probably a good time to do a roll call. We want to shout out to all of our amazing listeners. We've got great folks out there. We talk to just about every week. Even on Wednesdays, you guys know we have Smooth Black on, who joins us at about 8:30 to talk about his hair. Wonderful Smooth Black Ink, which is his hair business, and we have so many others out there. And on Fridays, we got a couple of folks who come on Fridays at 8, and they do a whole live thing with spirituality and some other things tossed in with entrepreneurial things as well. But right now, it's time for Linda C. So, Linda C., starting off, when you are, and this is a good point to find out where you know, what went into your thinking as well on, you know, what type of business? Or did it ever cross your mind, like you guys out there, when you are about to start a business? And for me, one of the first things that kind of went through my mind was, what type of business do I want to be? What type of business do I want to reflect to the general public out there? So that was my question to you. Do you have do you remember having that kind of thinking about that decision, or are you still thinking about it? Or because even if you think about it, you know, mm-hmm. or thought about it or decided, you can always change your mind. So that's the beauty of all
course.
This. But did that ever kind of weigh on you at all?
I mean, I've always wanted to, I love hair. So I've always, like I said, on the first segment we had, I talked about I started wearing hair since I was 13, which is absolutely true. And I grew to love it. It's part of my life. And why I spend so much money buying the hair and doing all this stuff. Why not go into the industry? I have a love for it. You know, and I've always been, even when I go out, I see a woman with beautiful hair, or I even saw a couple guys that had beautiful extensions, and I went up to him. I said, oh, my gosh, this is gorgeous. And he told me he makes his own wigs. And so, I mean, and he always had a passion
wow.
for it. So, I mean, it's a passion, and I think people, 90% of people, and it's not so much, you could think about the lawyers, the doctors, you know, people who have their own stores, they have a love for it. You know, you just don't go into business without just saying, well, okay, I'm just going to, you know, open like a store. But what kind of store? Why are you opening the store? What's your story? So everyone, I believe, in part, has a story to why they're doing things. Like I have a friend who's in fitness. And when we were kids, he grew up, he was heavy, but when he started eating healthy and exercising and he saw he developed a love for it, I mean, he went into having his own business, you know, as a personal trainer, owning a gym,
wow.
and he's very profitable. But he loves, when you talk to him, you can see the passion that he loves his job. He wakes up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And you would think, you know, people would say, oh my gosh, waking up so early and this and that. But he says, I love it. It's what I do. I love changing people's lives. So we could say the same thing for the people who go into the medical field, the doctors, the lawyers, and you know, they do this.
And the
I mean,
same
yes,
thing for Carrie
yes,
Hines. I
yes,
wake
yes,
at 4
Carrie
o'clock
Hines,
as well.
Yes, and you
so
have
put
a
the Hair Radio Morning
lives.
Show on. That's,
exactly.
Oh,
so when you
kind.
Have that passion, you are driven to do whatever it takes, because not only are you changing somebody's life, you're your own boss. And being your own boss is the hardest, because you don't know when to stop, you know. And I think a lot
true,
of times
true.
That because we have such a love for it, and yes, it can be, you know, it is stressful. I can't say it can be stressful. It is stressful. But at the end of the day,
yes.
we plant those seeds and we see our flowers flourish, you know. And whether using, and we were talking about earlier about different outlets of how people are using the pandemic to flourish their business. And I don't want to take that with me. I'll let
right.
you, you know, do your thing. But I think this is it. I mean, people go into businesses and because they love what they're doing, it's a passion, you know?
Exactly. And that's really, and I love that. And even for myself, when you'll find this in the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, but when I sat down to figure out what type of business I wanted Hair Radio to be,
mm-hmm.
And this is on every level. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to figure out what kind of business you want to create and set up for yourself. And also what type of entity you want it to be, because that's a very important aspect of business.
Course.
Now, when I, and I think this will be helpful, when I sat down, because folks always ask me, like, I'll hear this from time to time, are you tired? Are you, you know, you got so much to do. You do so much. How do you do all these things? it's almost like a complaint.
Yeah.
because folks can't really understand somebody else's passion per se. But the thing is, I always remind folks, when I sat down to create Hair Radio, and I initially, like I said, I created Hair Radio in 95. But when I came back 8 years ago and I put all this on Facebook, I just reminded everybody it's my 8-year anniversary this past May, since I left my job, so to speak. I was still working and doing everything. Oh, yeah, I shared it with we have amazing fans everywhere who went on Facebook, and they put such kind words. Thank you. This past May, it made 8 years since I punched someone else's time clock. And, you know, and what I remembered doing was sitting down when I was still at the job, which I still live one block over from my last job. Literally, I still see the folks here, and I'm glad of that because it's a reminder of how far I've come. But back to that, I sat down and I figured out, well, what do I want to do with this business? What do I want to create? What do I want to be the takeaway for a customer? What do I want the customer to look like? Who do I want the customer to be? So all that went in. Even the legalities, what type of business? Do I want to be brick and mortar? Do I just want to be online? Do I want to be registered this? Do I want to work from home? Do I want to open up office space? Blah, 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 blah. All these are wonderful things that I had to write down and think about. And the very first thing that I remember coming to a decision about is what the business should reflect who I am and what interests me. That was the very first thing. I didn't sit and think, well, what do I need to do to just make money? And what's really bizarre is that I didn't leave my job to start working for myself. I know that sounds strange, but it is very much the truth. I left I left the job because I was overworked from working for someone else. I was really tired. They paid me well, but I was really tired. You know, I had files as high as your head. Now, right now, my files are higher than my head. But it's a very different story when the files are yours versus the files of somebody else's job.
Because you can manage those files.
Exactly. So it's a very big difference. And I sat down and I decided, I said, you know what? I want the business to reflect what I am and what I'd like to do. And so I said, oh, we're great with public relations and marketing. I said, let's make sure that I do public relations and marketing. I said, I love to write. Let's incorporate my writing. I love to broadcast. Let's incorporate broadcasting. I love the hair and beauty people. Let's make sure that they are front and center with everything that I do. And as if that's not enough, I get to go out and do live shows and other things, but I wanted my business to reflect everything that I love to do and enjoy doing. So love to do and enjoy doing. So that was very important. And that's what I did. That was the first thing. The next thing, which would make sense for folks, it's not enough to just jot down what you'd like to do and even to think about it. You also have to then figure out ways to monetize it. So I had to come up with different ways that of those things that I love to do, what do you have to do to monetize those things so that you could create a living for yourself? And that was important because I didn't want to have you might as well have a job if you are compelled to do things that you don't want to do in order to make a living. And I never thought that I was put here to be a worker for somebody else's business, because I thought of myself, well, gee, you know, you're going to work until you're like 65, 70 years old, and it's very sad because, you know, what are you going to be able to do at that age? Listen, I better shout out to the folks who are doing great things. That's not old. But wouldn't it have been nicer if you could have enjoyed yourself a little bit more along the way instead of giving your best years to an employer? That's all I'm saying. Let's see, what do you say about that?
I mean, I think also it's I'm going to make two comments. I think also that, you know, in other countries, people retire at such an early age versus the United States. We wait to 65. And it's like by the time you retire, you really don't know who you are at some point because you spent your whole life working, right? And so even if you wanted to do something, it's like, okay, what do I do with myself now? I know a lot of my clients, they've gone back to work because they don't know what to do with themselves, you know, and, wow. And some of them have actually passed away after working so hard, and they don't even get a chance to enjoy their all their savings, all their hard work, all their pension that they've been putting away to enjoy. So
and
I don't know if it was
Can't we figure that out? Yes,
and we can figure that out now. I think it's just the lack of education that we have, where I feel like there's not enough material out there, programs to help these young entrepreneurs or even the entrepreneurs that start later in life. And then there's fear also, and then there's lack of funding, you know. And yes, it's great that you start your business, but you have to think about the people who started their business many years ago or many decades ago had and this is my opinion, had had a little bit more help than the people that are starting that started 10 years ago and versus the people that are starting after the pandemic. I feel like it's people that have been laid off or people that have been, I mean, we've all been through COVID, which was a terrible, terrible thing, and we're still going through it. But I feel like, yes, the people that businesses are struggling, I feel like they made it so hard for them to get the funding. And then when they got it, you have to jump through hoops to, you know, show the proof. And then there's people out there, not to be negative, that don't have the true business, and then they get funding. So the people are trying to be honest, and I'm not turning this in a negative way, but because I'm in the financial industry, it affects you also as an entrepreneur, Carrie, myself, who is striving to become somewhat leveled entrepreneur. And when I say leveled, meaning that I've established my business and now I've opened my online or my brick and mortar, and now I'm producing products and I'm changing lives and then reaping the benefits. But it's not as easy because the funding out there for people that are starting out after the pandemic is zero. And even if you try to get it, they tell you, oh, you would have had to register your business by this time. But who's thinking about that during a pandemic? There's so many businesses that became, that developed after the pandemic because people lost their jobs and they saw an opportunity to come out and take that leap of faith, you know? But they've taken that leap of faith, but now who's helping them? Okay, where's their help? You know, you've helped the businesses that are struggling. And I feel so bad because there's so many people who've been in business for 30, 40 years. I've spoken to so many of my clients that I've actually gone to their businesses and visit, and they're in tears because they have to shut down because the money that they're giving them cannot even sustain the business, right? Because the lease is so expensive, or they can't pay their employees. But then you have those businesses also, so it's a double-edged sword. You have those businesses that people have been laid off, but now they've had the opportunity. You just talked about it. They've realized that I don't want to be 65 and then now trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. I want to take that leap and always show if I wanted to do like some type of embroidery store or whatever store, a business that I love and I want to produce it. And they've gone out, they've cashed out their 401k, or they borrowed money from friends, or they refi their house or whatever they have to do to make it. But now that they have it, who's helping them? Myself in the same boat.
Really? Tell me more.
You know, so that's what it is. It's like, it's frustrating because at times it can be, yes, you're providing a wonderful service, because every time I talk to you, if I have an issue, I always turn around and look at your successes. And I'm not saying
Thank
it because
you.
I know you. I'm saying it because you
Thank
talked
you.
About your struggles. You talked about how you walked away from a great job, but because your mental health and this is not your love, this is not what you want to do, had pushed you along to start something. And obviously, yes, it was risky. Yes, you were scared. And there's a lot of people that need to hear that, to say that it's okay, you know, and at the same
true, Linda C. When I left, I'll tell you, though, the thinking that I have, the only difference that I believe of what I possess that I think others should really take a closer look at is that I look at the real big picture.
Yes.
Not just the short term, but the long term.
Exactly.
And I realized that the long term was more important to me. See, most other folks look at just the short term. Oh, I have to pay the rent in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I gotta get this. I gotta do that. So I gotta make sure I have this money, and I gotta go to work in order to get the money, and I gotta do this and do that. So I'm stuck. So, but the way I looked at life, I said, you know, I don't look at it as a destination so much.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think more so, what do I need to do to be happy each day? That was number one.
Yes.
And so that goes back to that figuring out what kind of business I wanted to be. What did I want to do, and how was I going to do it, and all that each day. That was my thing. If I could get through the day, setting myself up for success for that day. And I'll tell you, just on a very basic level, very intrinsic level, we're talking about food and roof over my head, literally.
<That's good. laughs>
If I could get through those things, then it was a successful day.
Yes.
And that became my bar.
Yeah.
Not my drinking bar, okay? I didn't go to a bar or drink. I would never have amounted to anything. But that became the bar that I set, which is a very low bar, because those are things on the hierarchy of needs. You have to eat. You have to, you know, make sure those things are in place and have proper shelter. So once I had those things covered, I said, well, you know, the rest is kind of gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I looked at it. And I, as I write in How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, my book that's out there on Amazon and everywhere else, I had to realize, I said, okay, well, you know, I had to make some adjustments, which I talk about.
Yes.
Because if you are going to embark upon an entrepreneurial career, something that you spoke of very highly, and we're going to do a whole episode about funding and raising monies for your business goals. So we'll talk about that in upcoming episodes of Hairpreneur with Linda C. And Kara Hines. So that's going to come up very soon. But in looking at all of that, like you mentioned as well with the 401k, which was one of the things that I used to leap forward. But for you guys out there, you know, this is very, very important. All of these little tips will be able to help you on your way. So I just want to say, Linda C., but for me, it was deciding how I was going to, you know, finance the business, but also that I had to do this and I had to pick out some things that I wanted to do. And I, like I said, for me, I think like I set the bar again so low that my thinking was a little different than others. Who just think, oh, I'm gonna, you know, we'll make so much money and I can do this and do that. They become very money focused, and I think that I don't know if that's the right way to go about it. Perhaps it works for some. It just wasn't the route that I wanted to take. My deciding was that I wanted to be happy each day.
Yes,
and it's about the quality of life, right? Yeah, the quality of your life.
Absolutely, and that's where I, like I was saying to my husband, and he said, you know, I have to say, like, I'm a people person, and I love to talk to people face to face. I love to hear their experiences, and I love to, you know, being in the financial industry is not about making money or getting these loans. It's about changing somebody's life. Like I would always say to my boss, like, I'm not going to sell a 91-year-old person a loan or a credit card or whatever it is or some type of product just because to make that sale. What value am I getting out of it? And what value is that person going to get out of it? You know, so that's where I said to myself, well, I want to do something. And I know some people may say that, oh, well, hair extension doesn't do that. And hair, but I look at the bigger picture. I just don't want to sell hair extensions. I want to grow it to where it's something out of the park. You know, is that the right thing?
Well, so, you said you want to grow it to what?
To like something huge, to have to grow it like a different market. And I said, well, just don't want to just base it online. I want to go into a store and see face-to-face the people, talk to these men and women and how I'm changing their life and provide them with a whole other service. That is what drives me every day. I look at the end that, okay, well, not only am I going to set example, I'm going to leave a legacy. You know, and I'm going to have, like you said, that it's about having mental health and being healthy mentally and the quality of life, you know. So, and that's what drives me every day, because every day I don't wake up bubbly or happy at that sense, because it sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, but you gotta make it right before you step out the door, you know. So,
this
you know,
true.
I put my
and if you start working
on,
for yourself,
yeah,
often
exactly.
you don't even have to step outside your door.
Exactly. and you know, yeah. I have my book. I have that I work on my website with my, you know, with the people. I would say my Potifies that, you know, and I'm coining your phrase.
That's right. I remember.
And
remind everybody what the Pod of Five is all about.
Well, it's a group of friends or family members that support you, basically, that absolutely
right.
give you advice and ideas. And I actually had a breakthrough this weekend, actually yesterday, and I thought about you, and I said, look at me with my Potify, and then, you know, I sat down with my cousin, and we went over the website, and she says, you know, we need to change some things. I said, what do you think? And that was constructive criticism. I took that to heart, because I know she's helping me. She's helping me grow.
Absolutely.
And she sees my vision, and she goes, this is going to be big, girl. And you have no idea what I see, you know. And so that made me happy, you know, that somebody's
Absolutely.
Looking out for me. So that's why a lot of people need those, you know, Potifies and
every entrepreneur. Every entrepreneur. And really everybody in life, but that's another story.
Of course.
But
you can use that for your life. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what it is.
That's right.
And
in
that's
order to
great.
Be successful, yes, you have to have some sort of support system. And we talked about in the last episode of Hairpreneur, and you guys can find it on Spotify. So it's important to remember that, you know, creating that support system, very, very important. And they also can help with financial support too, so don't forget that part.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about that and hopefully in the next episode or so. But yeah, I am very excited. And we also wanted to talk about entities and all that wonderful good stuff. So in deciding what type of that, you know, what kind of business you wanted it to be and what type of customer you would like to have, again, same types of ideas that went into my creation of that. And I decided, for me, I said, okay, this business is inspired by women of color. It was inspired by my amazing mom and my wonderful and beautiful sisters and just so many women that I've gotten to know along the way, particularly in the hair and beauty industry. And I said, this is what we're going to do with that information. We're going to be a program that would provide the information on healthy hair care for folks who are in front of, I'm going to say, who are seated in the chair, but also for folks who are behind the chair. So for all women particularly, but we also have expanded our wares to for men as well, and just for having a cultural, being a cultural touchstone, and that's what I wanted the business to be, and I think we've accomplished that. So it takes time sometimes. You do have to take some time to figure out those things about your business,
mm-hmm.
but it's worth it. It's worth it to
and
have the honest discussions with
too.
Yourself.
Of course. That makes a big, that can make or break your
Absolutely.
Business. You know,
Absolutely.
And I see... It has to stand out. Like I see, like I live in northern New Jersey, and there's a lot of stores that are the same right next to each other, but every store stood out a different way. Like I would get a certain, like when I used to buy my hair, I would only go to that one guy. To like that one guy that was selling the hair that I always loved, not because he had the best looking store, but because he provided that service. You know, he had quality hair. He was
on customer service. Oh,
yes.
He had good product.
You know, and yes, and he had the women in there that were like me, that looked like me, and that gave me great advice of what hair I should choose. Oh, okay, I would say this is the style that I'm looking for. So, and versus where I would walk into the bigger stores that were more flashy, and it was just there.
They were colder, and yeah.
Yes, it was just there.
Wow.
I mean, the stuff was really nice, and his store was much smaller, but you would think that he would be struggling with customers. He had loyal customers. I've been going to that man since the 90s, and he
Well, that's
revamped
the thing.
His store.
I love it. I love it. It's boutique. It's I call it boutique
yes.
services.
A boutique.
Boutique
yes,
businesses.
Exactly.
Right? Yes.
Exactly.
We,
and I've
we
been going
specialize.
To him since the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he moved his store to another town, which was not too far from my house. But I actually found him. I went out. I asked people around the people that I know that was going to the same boutique that I was going to back in East Orange. I found him, and they said, "Oh yeah, he moved to Orange." And I said, "What?" So I've been
We're talking
going
about
there
Jersey, folks. That's
Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey. I keep forgetting.
Yes.
And so that's how, and then you would think, like, loyal customers, this is what it is. Is they bring in, and I would always tell people, go to his store because he's the best, you know. And there's tons of hair stores on that main street. I mean, we're talking about 20 stores, and that one person stood out. I would like frequent the other stores and kind of looked around, but I never, not that I bought little things here and there, but I always have gone to him for everything.
That is
so
amazing.
I mean, you know, and that's how,
must,
you know,
he
when
must
you
really, yeah. You go ahead. I'm sorry. That's how you know.
No, go ahead, Carrie. No, go ahead. I was done with my story.
Well, no, I just think that's amazing. And, you know, and I appreciate hearing that, taking the time and supporting these small businesses, and it can make all the difference. And because of the help that you gave him and going and patronizing his store for so long might have been the difference that kept him in business. Like we talked about the folks who couldn't make it or made it through the pandemic and stuff. That little bit
mm-hmm.
of support is what yeah. can keep the lights on at his brick-and-mortar business.
Definitely.
And I do want to get this across, and I know it's a little off-subject for our broadcast today, but it's important to remember to support the small businesses because, you know, little tiny things really do make the difference. Folks think it takes a lot of money. It does, but it also, every little bit of business helps. Support these businesses because our businesses reflect our community. Maybe the other folks, maybe not so much. But for us, it would make the difference in our communities. It really would. If we supported our own businesses and businesses that we create in our community for our community folks, we would, I think we'd be okay.
Yes,
so that's
absolutely.
Something that, we have to take the steps to make sure that that's done. Now, your extensions business, so what kinds of hair, do you offer in this extensions business, Linda C. from New Jersey?
Well, I offer virgin hair. It's 100% human hair, and it's from one donor. I have Peruvian hair, and they all come in different styles, like it's straight hair, wavy, deep wave, like a body, and then closures and frontals. So that's pretty much in the gist of it all. And as the business grows, I'll be introducing new things, new products to the business. And so far, that's
yes.
pretty much it.
Well, it sounds like you're off to a great start. It really does. So we are just blown away. And we're going to be mm-hmm. following your each step that you take on this wonderful journey that we are talking about on Hairpreneur. Now, I have to say, and getting back to a few of the items that we were talking about today, in choosing the entity, and I remember starting off many times as just a sole proprietorship, an SP we call it, where, you know, you basically, of course, you register your business, but you pretty much stay in that lane. It's not mm-hmm. one that you have looked to become a big corporation or anything outside of just, you know, having a business, which could be online or just, you know, even in way of consulting. It just depends on how you have it set up. But a mm-hmm. lot of folks start off that way because of taxes and stuff like that. And I wanted to just explain that to a lot of folks out there. The reason that they have entities, and when we're talking about entities, we're talking about whether you are that you incorporate or decide to be a regular corporation or a sole proprietorship, limited liability corporation or company. All of that is really designated because of taxation. So that's the reason that you have these different entities, so that it can kind of aid with that. And I know that sounds foreign, because I was like, when I first started looking into this many years ago, I said, oh, okay, so that's why folks have decided to become an LLC, so to speak, which wasn't always around. LLCs are not new, but it hasn't been all that long that they've been out there. And an LLC is essentially shields your assets from the potentiality of, you know, it's not that it stops you from being sued, but it's not able to penetrate to your personal assets. So your business kind of becomes its own entity, if you will, its own being almost. So very interesting stuff. So the sole proprietorship is very much the opposite. And SP, you can set up for your business. And there are benefits in starting an SP versus setting up an LLC to start. An LLC requires a lot of record keeping, and it has to be approved by the state and so forth and so on. Where an SP, sole proprietorship, basically, like I said, you just go down and register it and you're on your way in terms of business license, pretty much, and that's it. So it's really interesting. But the thing with an SP, with a sole proprietorship, your personal assets, your personal wealth, there is no shield that exists with the LLC. So just bear that in mind. That's why a lot of folks, you can start off as a sole proprietorship because it's easy to get started. So yes, much easier to get started, but then you're less vulnerable to a certain degree. So just something to think about. And then you have all kinds of regular corporations, and you have the ideas of stocks rather, that you can disseminate and divide and raise funds for your business. And your business can, I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's so many different opportunities. And maybe one day, Linda C., we'll talk about franchising and all of that and getting your business out into different ways and so mm-hmm. forth. So I'm excited about Hairpreneur. I think it is just marvelous, and I think it's going to help, as it has even reflected already with so many folks right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show who are just big fans. So I wanted to take a moment and, you know, talk a little bit more We spoke about what goes in to your business, but we didn't really get into the brick and mortar versus the online idea.
Okay.
So what do you have to say about that? What comes to mind, Linda C., from New Jersey?
I mean, well, so to me, the online stores, you put more work into it versus when I mean work, you have to find a good website to develop your business website, because that is your bread and butter. That's what you're selling. That's your representation of you and your business. So it needs to be on point and, you know, it needs to appeal to your potential buyers. And you work, I feel like, in my opinion, when you have an online store, you kind of have to work a little bit more, but you do have some free time to dedicate more to your business. Where is it to network with other places, other people, and versus the brick and mortar, it's more face-to-face. So you may work at a brick and mortar, your own business, from like 9 to 6 or 9 to 7, but you have to be dedicated to be there at all times and to stay on point. And, of course, with your brick and mortar, you need to find the right location that's going to bring you clientele versus online. Online can be a little bit more competitive where you're competing against 20 other businesses that are like yours. And you have to market yourself a little bit more. You have to pay more attention to detail, because one little slip up can cost you to even have bad reviews, or, you know, just you want to stay on top of your game. So like me, I kind of like both aspects of it, but I'm more so of a brick and mortar girl, to say, because I like the face to face. I like to talk to people. I like to see my clients come in. And so with online, I think the online is a little bit more work. It can be very frustrating because you always have to stay fresh. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying, Carrie? Like you always have to be new at all times. And you have to make sure your Instagram is good, your Facebook. So it's a little bit more intense. And you have to do a little bit more homework. You have to be a little hands-on. And the brick and mortar, yes, you put a lot of work in it because it's more physical, you know. And
absolutely.
But so to me, those are the two differences. And whichever you're planning to open out there, and I think it needs to be more researched. It needs to, for you to have a business plan. Just like you have a business plan, I truly believe I have a business plan for my life itself, my personal life, and my family. A life plan, yes, and with timelines and everything. And also, you have to have a business plan, not just a business plan to present to get funding, but a business plan for yourself, for your business. What do you want your business to look like? What is the time frame? Just like I'm doing here with Carrie, I have a business plan, but it's not for financial. It's for when I'm going to get my business off the ground, which is hairpreneur from the ground up.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say it.
So
I
that's what
was.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, you need three business plans. You need your life business plan, and you need a business plan for you to get your business off the ground.
Yes.
And you need a business plan for your financials to present this business. So it is a lot of work to do. And
exactly.
One is more easier than the other, but just because I mentioned the online is the quick. Sometimes it can be the quickest, and sometimes it cannot. It's not, but it's the easiest way without all the overhead versus the brick and mortar, where you have to really find the funding, and you know you really have to do a little bit more work, and you really have to risk a little bit more to make it happen. So one is more riskier than the other. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. But they both require the research, and you mentioned that
earlier.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The online, of course, is a lot less expensive. in comparison to having a brick-and-mortar business. But several things on those folks who wish to have a brick-and-mortar, and when we say brick-and-mortar, just so that we don't leave anybody out, it means a business that you can walk into versus a business that is solely online. And some are a hybrid. They're kind of like a mixture of those two. But bear in mind, if you have selected a brick-and-mortar business, it is amazing because because of the pandemic, lots of the brick-and-mortar owners, I'm saying that these folks who rent these commercial properties out to folks like you and me who wish to have a business, you can get really great deals right now because there's so many businesses that have gone online. So it opens it up where if you go in, you can always negotiate for 6 months free rent in some cases. And all of that is as an outpour. But for those who wish to avoid a lot of that overhead that you also mentioned, Linda C., online is definitely a much more economical option. And depending upon what type of business you have, can be something that I think is the way to really look at that and the way to really consider going. So we're happy to guide you at the Hair Radio Morning Show on Hairpreneurs. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines with the amazing Linda C. You've been doing just a great job, Linda C. So super hyped about it. It was an extraordinary third episode of Hairpreneur and From the Ground Up. And again, Hairpreneur is that made-up word. It's like a hair person and an entrepreneur, right?
Exactly.
Kind of merged
Absolutely.
Into one.
Yes.
Yeah, so we really, really like it. I think this was really good. Linda C., before we sign out for today, is there anybody that you want to shout out to? Any closing thoughts for the Hairpreneurs to carry them over to the next episode?
Just to everyone that's listening, all the future hairpreneurs and all the current hairpreneurs, and especially to you, Carrie, and to your wonderful radio show, and just my top five, and that's pretty much it. And I love being here. I love spending that moment with you and your listeners, and hopefully that I know we're helping them out there.
We are
and
making the difference.
Yes, we are, definitely. And I'm glad I am part of making that difference. I'm very proud and I'm very grateful that you have invited me to your show again. looking forward to growing with you and all my hairpreneurs out there, and I can't wait to be in your in the hair show out in August in Atlantic City.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. So hopefully I can get to meet our hairpreneurs and also the listeners.
Yes.
So I'm super excited.
And you can go to hairnationexpo.biz to find out all about our live events. And we're going to keep you guys posted on that right throughout all of that we're doing with Hairpreneur. So, Linda C., thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for
having me.
Always a pleasure.
All right. You got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins. Right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Clint Beast on the boom.
You niggas be tripping. What up, bro? You rocking with State Watch. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
All right, we're back live. You are listening to an all-new episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is Tuesday morning, November 30th of 2021. It's about 7:51 in the morning as we broadcast live from New York City throughout the world. On today's episode, please keep it right here. A little later this morning, in a little over a half hour, we have the Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins joining, you know, the lineup this morning. So we're real happy about that. Very special episode. We definitely want you guys to tune in. I have a lot of announcements to get to this morning. So we're going to get on some music. Then after that, we've got a lot of talk to get to and bring you guys up to speed on what's happening at Hair Radio. Have some great news and some big announcements. You don't want to miss anything today. So why don't we just get on a song after this, please? We'll be back. And we've got, as I said, a lot to get to and more hair talk. Stay with us.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations, no, no. I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within.
What'd she do to her hair?
I don't know. It looks crazy. I like it. Might do that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations, no.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh, on national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining. Singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey, hey,
I am not my hair.
I am not my hair.
I am not this skin. I am not your expectation.
And I just let you let me
know. No, no, no. I am not my head.
I am the soul that lives. I wanna rock and rock, I don't take a bit away from the soul that I got. If I wanna wear it braided all down my back, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, it is Tuesday morning, November 30th of 2021. I'm Carrie Hines, and it's great to have you guys with us. As I said right before the music break, we've got a lot to get to, as they say these days, to unpack on today's broadcast, as well as this entire week. So I want to kind of, you know, get you guys up to speed. We had a little bit of a holiday break. It's really kind of back to work for us at the Hair Radio Morning Show and our team. Let me just first just want to welcome everybody again to the broadcast. Coming up again at 8:30, Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk folks in just a little over a half hour. And then for the rest of this week, we have an amazing lineup of folks. On Wednesdays, live edition of this broadcast, we have a very, very special guest. She's from television. You guys know Lisa Bloom. She is one of television's top go-to attorneys. She's a legal out there, and she's been on our broadcast many times. She's helped represent folks from the Black Lives Matter movement. She's also had allegedly been wronged by the police and so many other things. She represents a lot of folks. Her mom is famous. She's famous. Her mother's Gloria Allred, the other top TV attorney you guys have heard out there. Lisa's been doing her thing for many years, and we are just so excited to have her on the broadcast on Wednesday's edition. She'll be with us about 8 o'clock in the morning on tomorrow's show. That's New York time, 7 o'clock Central. And let me just give you quickly a little rundown. She's going to be covering some of the top cases. You guys heard the verdicts out there with some of these huge cases with regards to race and so forth. There's just a lot going on, and she's going to help us to navigate all of this. It's really about what we as the general public should anticipate when we hear these big cases being covered on television and in the news. We want to make sure that we are looking through the right scope and paying attention to the right clues. So we have, you know, we've diminished the impact of some of these verdicts that they seem to have on us as the public, and maybe we can call it right and find out maybe there's some things that we can do. Well, she is an inside voice. She is out there. She's all over TV with, you know, things and people that she covers. And she herself, I'm very proud to tell everybody, I just got a big update from Lisa just yesterday. And she's going to be telling us about this big case that about Ghislaine Maxwell. You guys have heard she's been charged with being a participant or, you know, for the procurement of these young ladies for the late Jeffrey Epstein. So she's going to tell us all about this connection that she's now representing folks involved with that, or she's going to clarify all of that. She's going to break all of the legal maneuverings down and bring us up to speed at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're so proud to have her. Again, Lisa Bloom, TV's Lisa Bloom from the Bloom Firm. And again, she'll be with us on Wednesday's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, real happy to have her on tomorrow's broadcast. You don't want to miss it. She'll be on at 8 o'clock. And then Thursday, real happy. Well, first, let me just also say on Wednesday, we have a big, big lineup. Lisa comes on at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. But before that, between 7 and 8, we have a brand new company, Josie's Au Naturel, who joins us. Josie, who is the lady behind it. Her name is Jocelyn. We call her Josie. She is the lady, the proprietor, I should say, behind this brand new brand called, again, Josie's Au Naturel. And we want you guys, she joins us and talks about so much in the way of getting her business off the ground, her amazing products. And she's just a delight. She gives us a little live boost, you know, for an hour on Wednesdays and Friday mornings. So that's got to be just great to welcome her back after the holidays. And then at 8:30, Smooth Black, all the way from the West Coast. Well, ironically, Lisa's also out there on the West Coast, so typically, so that should be very interesting. So he's on at 8:30 on Wednesday morning, New York time, 7:30 Central, and real excited. So again, he's on from California, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. So again, Wednesday, big, big show from beginning to end. And then Thursday at 8 o'clock, we have our amazing brand new series within a series. It's really the first episode. We are counting down the 10 most fascinating guests on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm real happy about that. These are folks who've made an impact at Hair Radio. Some of them, you know, I think all of them are memorable. I think that's why they're called the most fascinating guests we've had on the show. But I think you'll get something from it. We have great commentary with the one and only Mary Reed Johnson, who's my guest co-host for this series. Again, episode 1 will air on Thursday morning, the 2nd of December at 8 o'clock right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, you don't want to miss it. All this is new content, and I think it's going to be enjoyable. Friday morning, we've got a big, big lineup again. Jossie's with us mid-show between 7 and 8, live on the air. And then 8 o'clock in the morning, we have a brand new, wonderful new company, again, that's joining us. Tracy is her name. This is her first time joining us. We're going to have to really send her some, you know, some, well, I should say some great thoughts. We're going to channel all that positivity to Tracy and her amazing company called ActiveFollicles.com. Check it. You can go in advance and check them out, ActiveFollicles.com. What I love about Tracy is that she is a hair loss prevention expert, and she has a brand new product line, and she's going to be on live and tell us all about. So this time we're going to get it live, so it'll be really great. She'll be on about 8 o'clock on Friday. So big, big week, and then we've got some other stuff we'll tell you about in just a bit. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're opening up the lines. Whatever you got to say, we want to hear it. Press 1 if you've dialed in and you have a comment to share with us. Now, I also want to say we've got a toy drive to talk about and so much more happening in the month of December, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more about that as we kind of move along this morning. So again, Vet Talk Radio Show coming up at 8:30, and we've got a lot more to get to, so stay with us.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, my target audience is going to be 50-plus. I am a woman of 50-plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50-plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50-plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me. And I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50-plus,
And all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives. And I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest with us today. He's from the world of barbering. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Mr. Jeff Johnson. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm actually honored to be here. And, you know, I'm very honored, very honored.
Awesome. Well, I have to say, first of all, and I really mean that, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show, because you're making your debut right here, right now, with all of us here on the broadcast. So what do you have to say? Let's tell the folks a little bit about who Jeff Johnson is.
All right, Jeff Johnson, I was born and partially raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Northwest section.
Shouting out my folks down in the Philly area, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up really in Pensauken, New Jersey. That's where I started.
Pensauken, yes.
Yeah, Pensauken, South Jersey. Spent some time in the military, in the U.S. United States Navy. Let me go back a little bit. During the time when I was about 17 years old, I knew I wanted to be a barber. I was the kind that I would cut my friend's hair in school, send them to school sometimes with patches in their hair and looking like, you know, they were sick. And as I got better, my mom said, you know, hey, it looks like you're getting better. Make your friends look like, you know, leukemia patients, you know, send them to school with patches in their hair.
Right.
So that was a good start for me. So I knew I was on a good path there. It's just something about the barbering. Actually, my family is filled with stylists, or what you refer to sometimes as kitchen stylists, you know, those who have the skills to do hair, and one of my other cousins is actually a barber in PA. So, yeah, I took up the love of barbering, and it's just, for me, a great way to communicate with people.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, there's a big entrepreneurial aspect to barbering. And so,
yeah,
of course, it takes all the talent and the skills and all of that, of course, and the techniques and all of that. But what do you say to the folks who are looking to learn on the business side as well?
On the business side, I always say, you know, back just like when I learned in school, the 80-20 rule, 20% skill, 80% personality. Now, that's not saying that you should just settle to be a mediocre barber or whatever,
right,
but you have to communicate with the people, and through that comes the business side. The business side of barbering, we go to, first of all, going to school will be a great start. I'm a licensed New Jersey cosmetologist, which allows me to not just become a barber, but hairstylist, esthetician, makeup artist, even those who have strictly a barber's license. The business of barbering is something that I believe, which is what's really going to make this industry great as far as being a barber. I always talk to new barbers, even barbers that have been in the industry for a while, about the business side. You have, you know, again, going to school and doing your hours, taking your theory test and your practical exam so that you can get your license, which is very important. You know, barbering is one of the, if not the oldest trade in the world. And so I hold that very dear to me, and I take it very seriously.
I talk to
younger barbers about, again, not just their licenses, because you have a lot of barbers who feel that so that they don't need a license, that they should just be able to go to a barbershop or any shop and cut, you know, in the world and cut. And unfortunately for me, and I say unfortunate because, you know, it's a lot, it happened. But just like when you go to a dentist's office, you go to a doctor's office, you feel good when you see certificates and see licenses on the wall. So when you're in the shop, you have that license, unless your clients and everyone know that you are regulated by a state, and that makes them feel good as far as them being the client. Because in this industry, it's always client first and you second.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with that. I do want to ask you about a couple of points on that, though, just to get your opinion, since this is the Hair Radio Morning Show. One, you made a very good point about, you know, your license down in the state of New Jersey. I'm up here in New York. We have a little different guidelines. But I wanted to ask you, because I know there was a time in that state where you had to take the entire cosmetology course. And before that, I believe it wasn't the case, and then they made it the case, and then I think it's back again to having it as a separate curriculum. So do you have any opinion about that whole thing? I think this current governor, I think he changed everything and made it a little bit easier for the students who are in barbering school. But what's your take on all of that?
Well, I can only speak from my personal experience. And you're 100% correct. At one point, you know, it was strictly, you know, even if you wanted to be a barber, you have to have a cosmetology license. Some years back, maybe between 6 and 8 years is when they really start to implement the barbers program. And even that was not available at every school. So, you know, even myself, when I came into the field, at first I just wanted to get that barber's license, and I couldn't get it because the New Jersey only allowed for a cosmetology license, and that's why I wound it up. But now, during this current time, the barber's license is available for anyone who wants to just become a barber. Now, the difference between having a cosmetology license and the barber's license, you know, not just the fact that you get to learn a little bit of everything with your cosmetology, but there's some restrictions that the state puts on you when you're a barber as far as, you know, certain chemicals and whether you're doing color or doing a relaxer, things like that, or even when you talk about doing facials. Those things are under the guidelines of cosmetology. I see a lot of barbers doing facials who just have a barber's license in the state of New Jersey, and that's not allowed.
Right.
For anyone that's coming into the industry that wants to become a barber, look at that and understand where's the best you want to go with this. I myself having a cosmetology license allows me, as I said before, to do a variety of things. Originally, when I first went to school, I wanted to do hair. I wanted to learn how to do hair, braid, and so on and so forth. But I fell in love with barbering. But if you just want to become a barber, go for it. But just understand that there's some restrictions and limitations that could affect you monetarily if you just decide to be a barber, which is not a bad thing. But if you want to kind of expand yourself and expand your horizons and kind of be able to go into and dip into another field in this beauty industry, then definitely having a New Jersey cosmetology license is the way to go.
Absolutely. And that's the thing about all of that and companies like Hair Radio. We serve the professionals as well as, you know, all of those folks, the enthusiasts and everybody who's interested in hair and beauty. There are a lot of things that you can do if and when you are at that point that you say, hold it. I kind of want to step a little bit back away from the chair. I don't want to leave the chair entirely, but I might want to look and see about expanding my horizons or what have you. That's when you make a phone call to us at Hair Radio, and we're happy to help you. And if that's not the case and you're still behind the chair and you're looking to do some other things even while you're there, we're, of course, here to help and support you with all of that, and we're real happy about that, you know, that ability to do so. Now, the other part of that I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about the licensing. We were talking about that, and I'm loving the conversation. I wanted to ask you about the folks out in some of those states where they're trying to actually do away with licensing. I can almost guess how you might feel, but I'd love to hear from you on your thoughts. We've gone from one end to the other. So,
right.
Yes, what do you say to that, Jeff?
and I know exactly what you're saying. There are a lot of states that they already have that in place as far as not having to have a license, even when you're just wanting to do natural hair. I think it was stated as
right.
But they don't restrict you to having a license. I say like this, I love this industry. This industry has fed a lot of families. It provided education for a lot of people in the hair industry who have children. The way I see it is this, and I think the reason why, and maybe I could be wrong, but the reason why they're starting to maybe fade away from someone having the state license is really contingent upon the people that are in the industry, the shop owners, the barbers or the cosmetologists or the hairstylists themselves, who decide to just, or who are allowed to work in the shop and that have a license. When you do things like that, and as the state board comes through the shops, which I've encountered twice, and they see that there's only a few bars that have a license, they kind of take that almost like a census and say, hey, I went to John's Barbershop in Clayton, New Jersey, which, I mean, there is no John's Barbershop, but just for example, I went to John's Barbershop in Clayton, New Jersey, and there was only the manager and two other barbers out of eight who have a license. So they kind of take that, and then, you know, that affects this field. Because if you don't see it as important enough to have a license, in the state at some point is going to say, you know what, obviously this is not a field that people want to get licensed in, so we're just going to do away with that. My thing is, and as I mentioned before, when we have a license, we have a state license, it shows that you are regulated by the state. You have certain things you have to do, and it shows that you have certain knowledge, knowledge when you're dealing with, especially as we're dealing with now, sanitation, disinfectation, and disinfecting. Those two things, when you go to school and you learn those things, they're very, very important to learn, especially when we're dealing with this thing with the COVID-19, and where they made double sure that all the shops in this state and everywhere pretty much take more precaution. Even though we've been doing that already, a lot of us, in my opinion, have not been doing it effectively and efficiently, which kind of hurts this industry. I myself, you know, I always, the first thing I do when I come into a shop is I sanitize all my tools. If I haven't changed my barber side the day before, that gets changed in the morning, because once you start putting tools inside your barber, inside your barber side, and you don't do the proper thing that you're supposed to do, which is to rinse to get the hair out, because once you get hair inside the barber side, you contaminate it, and we don't need contaminated barbicide, because we have too much hair. That barbicide basically is just pink. It's just not pink, just blue water.
Yes, go right ahead.
That's just one of the things that I do. But like I said, having a license, aside of that, it just shows that there's professionalism in this industry. As I said before, you don't want to go to a doctor's office or a dentist's office and not see a certificate of some kind or a license of some kind. That will put you at ease.
Well, what I love about Barbicide, and we've had the ED, the education director, right here on our broadcast on the Hair Radio Morning Show. In fact, there's a podcast that's floating out there on Spotify. If you go and get your music on the streaming source of Spotify on their platform, you'll find just search Carrie Hines, and my podcast will pop up. And you'll find the interview with Nurse Leslie from Barbicide. And she, when she was here, she talked to us about the shops reopening and what steps you need to take to make sure that you are, you know, obeying proper sanitation guidelines. And what I love about this is that they have a certificate at Barbicide.com. So do check all that out, where you can, you know, pass a test. I took the test as well. It's hanging on my wall here, and you can print it out. It's really, really awesome. And they're just leading the charge with health and sanitation. And they, to me, they're the Bible of the industry. So I'm very, very pleased to hear you mention Barbicide and understanding all of that. So I have to say, Jeff, well, first of all, let me just remind everybody, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today I have a very special guest who's actually, he's joining our lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. His name is Jeff Johnson. He's out of kind of like the South Jersey area, and we're real happy to have him with us to come on board. He's a barber, a licensed barber, and he's making some waves out there. Thank you, Jeff Johnson. Jeff, welcome to the show. Now, that's G-E-O-F-F. I just want to make that clear. Okay,
that
not
is
the
right.
J-E-F-F.
No, that is right. It's the first time when I tell someone my name, that's the first thing I do is give them the correct spelling. And also, I want to go back And that is a big thing, but I'm a licensed cosmetologist that specializes.
Oh, that's right. I got you. Okay. That does correct that. So you are a licensed cosmetologist who specializes in barbering. Is that correct? That's how you want to state it.
That is correct.
Which is awesome, because usually we don't necessarily hear it that way, but that is awesome, and we applaud you for that. And I think it's just, you know, as you were saying and describing your story earlier, I was thinking to myself as you were saying that you always wanted to do hair, and you actually went through the whole cosmetology course, and I think you really appreciated that, where I had known a whole bunch of barbers who went through, unwillingly almost. So I think it's really amazing, because they wanted to do the barbering. I do want to make that clear. It's not that they didn't want to go to school. They loved school and loved the course, but they didn't necessarily, you know, feel that the whole course is what they wanted to do. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's awesome, because it opens up a lot more avenues, in my personal opinion. So I think it's great, Jeff.
Right.
So Jeff, I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. What are some of the topics you'd like to see spearheaded on this broadcast that you yourself will be bringing to your piece here?
Oh, I'm definitely glad that you asked that. One of the things I want to bring to the show, again, really focus on the business side of barbering, and
awesome.
You know, it's the business side, the financial side. Of being in this field. Again, going back to the pandemic and the shutdown of the jobs and people not being able to work, one of the things I really want to focus on as far as being a barber with your license is also, because you have a license, is also learning how to create a business from your name, which would allow you to, if you operated your business the right way, which would be another time that I would speak about, you would have been able to collect that additional grant money that was given to a lot of the small businesses, and also the unemployment, because there were a lot of barbers who did not receive the unemployment because they never filed taxes.
You
they
know,
don't have a license
that's
to file
right.
taxes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
So,
that's important.
So with that, that is something that I really want to bring to the table. I need barbers to understand that paperwork is important. Ownership of your craft and of your name is very important, and it would also open up a lot of doors for you.
Correct. And I'll tell you, and on the flip side from the filings of all of that, and I heard another stylist, I think, on the radio show this morning actually talk about that as well. That's very important. And to be registered, it is cash, and we're still kind of essentially a cash-based business. But let's remember to do that paperwork and make sure that you're registered. Very, very important. Like when this came out of the clear blue sky, no one knew that this was going to happen, but you would have been positioned to take advantage of a bunch of those monies that they're pretty much throwing at everybody these days. For those who are able to take advantage, just read the small fine print, please. Okay, please.
Yes. Yes,
important,
yes.
Especially in our community. Please read the fine print. And so that's all, just to be aware on both sides of that debate. Listen, I have to say, Jeff, I'm really, really happy to have you on board with us. So this is going to be just awesome. Listen, is there anybody you want to shout out to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
I definitely want to shout out to Big Barber Van, who's the owner.
Awesome.
He's traveling the barbershop, 1135 Deffin, New Jersey. Great guy, great owner, fair guy. So that's definitely a barber that I would love to shout out. Also,
what's the name of that shop again? We're going to give them a little bit more of a plug today. What's the name of that shop and that owner?
It is called The New Extravagant Multicultural Barbershop, 1135 Deffin, New Jersey.
All right. That is just awesome. And we want to shout out everybody in the facility there and all the clients who come in there. So thank you so much, Jeff. I want to say you're just going to be an awesome addition to the team. I don't know how else to put it. We welcome you. We have a whole host of barbering that we're going to get underway here at the show, and we will be paying attention to you when you launch your own broadcast right here on the program. So we are looking forward to that. Now, that's going to happen next month sometime, so we'll keep you guys informed when that's going to happen. Just keep tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And, Jess, in the meanwhile, we'll have you back to take part in some of our panel discussions on barbering, joining some of the folks who are already on board with us, and I think we're going to have a good lineup.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, likewise. All right. Well, folks, thanks again, Jeff, for being with us. And Mr. Jeff Johnson, we will have him back real soon. So thank you so much for being with us. And, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd of, let's say, 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99%
two.
Of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three
no
or four
one.
People
right, exactly.
saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
we'll
was...
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Was it Annie Malone, or was it something we should, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what
based
I'm getting.
On timing.
Why? How on this earth? I'm trying to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both, and
oh,
all the things that they
no
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right, exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker...
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back live. Michael Hopkins, I want to just make sure and bring to the line this amazing gentleman. As you just heard, it's Vet Talk Radio time. It's Tuesday morning. We're live on this November 30th of 2021. It's broadcast show number 16 for the Vet Talk folks. Mm-hmm. Michael, good morning and happy Tuesday to you.
Good morning, Carrie, and happy Tuesday to you also.
Yes, well, listen, I want to jump right on in. I am super hyped about today's broadcast. I understand that we've got some great things that you're rolling out to everybody, and this is really a new subject. You talk about it a lot on the show, but I think you're really going to lead in with some pretty interesting talk this morning, and I just loved it as soon as I heard this is what you guys were going to do. But I want you to take a moment to tell everybody about it. It's like, I'll let you explain what today's lead topic is on the Vet Talk Radio Show. Go right ahead, Michael Hopkins. Take it away.
Right. Carrie and we're going to be talking about a very important subject today. And that subject is, if you're a veteran and you don't want to do your claims yourself, Who do you go hire? How do you hire somebody? What should they be charging? Those are topics that come up all the time, Carrie. When I'm out and about and I'm talking to other vets about the claims process, and I ask them where they are and so forth, and this topic always comes up.
It always comes up. Well, I cannot wait for us to get started with that and kind of bring that, for the first time on your show, really in this way. So really, really nice. Also want to just take a moment. What else? I think you've got the panel joining you, Michael's Angels. You guys know them. You heard the announcement with Katrina, Noor, and Nicole. They'll be on with you as well. I understand you guys are going to be looking at some of the wonderful recent holiday moments and holiday highlights and all of that good stuff. So real nice. Are you looking forward to that, Mr. Michael?
Oh, yes, 100%. I just want to find out.
Okay, I'm going to have to get you some coffee this morning. All right, and don't forget next week, of course, it's the Pearl Harbor episode. We'll talk a little bit about that. And today, hopefully, Michael, you can get the Angels to chime in a little bit about Pearl Harbor. I think everybody remembers reading about Pearl Harbor. You don't have to be a veteran to be aware of Pearl Harbor Day. We studied it in school, I think just about everybody, when I came up. So we'll talk a little bit about that from your show producers a little later in the broadcast. And just happy to be with you this morning, Michael Hopkins, for this episode, Vet Talk Radio, live on this November 30th. So we've got only a handful of episodes left before we wrap up 2021 entirely. And we'll be rolling into the next year. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in today's broadcast. Michael Hopkins. Now on to your big topic, your lead programming details today with regards to the claimants and folks who, you know, can choose to represent you, so to speak, who actually can represent the veterans and all of that with their, you know, with their claims and all of that. Michael Hopkins, again, take it away.
Okay, Carrie. Thank you so much. Actually, in the claims process, there are at least three people or three organizations that can represent you as a veteran. And as veterans, we have to be very careful when we do this, Carrie, because there are some people out there, just like your earlier broadcast that you guys were talking about regulations and so forth. Well, you see,
right.
In the veterans realm, there are also regulations. There are federal regulations that actually dictate who can represent you as a veteran, who can go in front of the Office of Veteran Affairs and represent you in the claims process. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I can go get my cousin Joe Blow because, well, he won a claim. He kind of knows what he's doing, so it should be okay. And then we also have some people out there that they have the knowledge of how to file claims and win them and so forth. And what they decide to do, they decide to attach a monetary fee along with helping veterans. Well, first of all, Carrie, you have to have accreditation in order to represent a veteran in front of the VA. You have to have accreditation. Now, what do I mean by accreditation?
Exactly, yeah.
And a lot of people, as I say, a lot of people don't know this. Basically, CFR 3814.636 defines what it is. And I'm just going to just give a short definition. I'm not going to give the whole long definition. But basically, lawyers can represent you because of their background. That's one of the entities that the government recognizes that can represent a veteran. Another organization that can represent a veteran is what we call veteran service organizations. There are several of them out there, Karen. There are several really good veterans organizations that were formed for veterans by veterans.
Now, Michael, just to be clear, you are talking, when you mentioned the CFRs, the Code of Federal Regulations, it's important that folks know what that means. I'm sure they've heard CFR probably, familiar with that in the term,
right.
But it's nice to break it down a little bit further. So there are actually a few, organizations that have this representation. How does that work again, Michael? Share that one more time.
Right. Yeah, basically, there's a certification process, and I'll just kind of briefly touch on it. With your certification process, the federal government does a background check on you. You know, they want to make sure they know who you are and if you have any kind of criminal history or have you embezzled funds, et cetera, et cetera. Because we're talking about dealing with people's lives and money. Also, there's a test that you must take in order to be found competent to represent veterans.
Wow.
There's also continuing education. And normally, the exam and so forth and the continuing ed usually falls onto a person called an accredited claims agent. That's basically a person who's not a lawyer. They don't have maybe like a law background, but they can represent veterans in front of the VA. You know, the claims process, if a person is denied some type of disability, they can represent them. They can represent them all the way up to what we call the Board of Appeals. There's
Michael, I have one silly question for you on this. As I'm hearing this, is it possible for vets to represent themselves? Does that make sense?
Oh, sure, sure. Oh, yeah. Yes, you can. You can represent yourself and file your own claims. There's nothing saying that you cannot do that. It's just the VA prefers that you have representation, especially if it kind of gets kind of complicated. Sometimes these claims can get complicated. The average claim is not really that complicated. But when it comes to, say, like if you're a Vietnam vet and is Agent Orange involved and you've been denied and you have to do certain things and produce things, and that's when it gets complicated.
Well, Michael,
and when it gets complicated like that.
Yes. Go right ahead. I'm sorry,
when it gets complicated. When it gets complicated like that, that's when you need strong representation.
Wow. I have to tell you this. First, let me just go back a little bit for you, Michael. We just want to take a moment to acknowledge you've got quite a few veterans who are all tuned in right now listening to this broadcast. You have quite a few fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show. I want to officially welcome them to the broadcast, as I'm sure, you know, I can speak for everybody here. And I am just excited to have them on. And so they may have some questions for you as well about this. So we're going to just veer off script for just a moment. If you guys have a question that you'd like to share with Michael and the team, please press 1 if you've dialed in the 516 number. We'd love to hear from you. And Michael, you're so adroit at breaking this down for everybody that you can handle these these questions, you know, with
sure.
a plumb. So we would love that. And also, because this is such a gigantic discussion point, it's huge, and I think this is news to me, and I'm sure along with the veterans out there, they are appreciating the information that you're sharing. So the one thing I wanted to mention is that today's broadcast, which is introducing this topic to your fans, this is just a preliminary preview of some special broadcasting that you're going to focus on in weeks to come, which are going to really delve into this topic. So I just wanted to say that. In other words, we're going to have expanded programming soon that's devoted to who can represent the veterans in cases before the VA. So I am super hyped about it, and I thank you for you and your Cracker Jack producers for just coming up with this topic this morning for the Vet Talk Radio folks. And again, we're live this Tuesday morning on November 30th. So thank you, Michael Hopkins, and please continue. This is exciting. So again, folks, press 1, chat with Michael and the team. Michael, please continue.
Thank you, Carrie. And this topic, it really goes deep. It really
does.
You have to be careful. And that's the bottom line with this. I just want the veterans to understand, and as you said, you know, we'll delve into this deeper, but they have to be careful because there are so many unscrupulous people out there that say that they can represent you as a veteran, and it basically becomes a money-making scheme with a lot of people. It's like a whole industry that has cropped up to help veterans. You can go online, basically. You can find attorneys all night and all day. You can find these organizations.
And across my TV.
Right.
Michael,
right.
I have
you
to
know,
be looking at TV, yes, and this is what I see. And so how do you know who's scrupulous or who's not scrupulous? Do you have some kind of ways that folks can, you know, look out so that they can kind of avoid those, you know, the few, and let me just officially say, Michael, because we've chatted about this, it's not everybody. By and large, you have amazing folks who are doing an amazing job of representing the veterans. Let's officially salute them for that. And these are folks who are charged with doing, like Michael, who's just doing some amazing, great things to to help the veterans, to put these claims in effectively. And so we want to recognize them. So the few bad apples, as with any industry, we always have a couple of rotten ones that, you know, but I say to the way that we look at this is that the rotten apples always fall off, you know, all by themselves. So, but what are some of the ways that you can tell the veterans this morning how to look for the credible, scrupulous, the ones who have scruples, the ones who are doing the right thing? How do you tell them to do that?
Well, you know, Carrie, one of the ways that you can tell if somebody has the accreditation from the VA, they have,
yes,
the VA actually has a listing of lawyers, agents that are accredited by them. They actually, you can go on their website, on the va.gov website, and you can find accredited agents. And they're
wow,
listed by state, and you can find them. And the VA...
So
actually,
they should go on and check them against this list,
right,
is what
you're saying. They should check it out before they decide to depart with their hard-earned money. They should check it out first. Now, also, Carrie, I have to mention this also, too. Now, some of the other organizations, like the Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, they are state organizations. These organizations can also represent veterans, and they're accredited by the VA.
Wow.
And there is no fee involved with utilizing their services. Their services are free to any veteran who asks. All they have to do is ask.
Oh, wow. Well, hold on. So you're saying, I just want to be clear about this, that you don't have to pay anybody anything. The VA, they
that's
provide
right,
folks to assist the veterans.
Right. That is correct, Carrie.
Wow.
That is correct. And a lot of
veterans,
Michael, don't know that.
They don't know. Well, they're going to know now listening
right
to the Best Talk Radio
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I'm going
to
make sure that they
yes,
understand because this is a
wow,
big deal.
No, I didn't know that either. Now, I have to say, mm-hmm, Michael, we're setting up, and this is probably a great time to interject this. We're setting up at hairradio.com. You guys know this is our broadcast network, and even though we're a hair, beauty, and information community relations network, Michael and his team, they're going to have a page on our new on our website. So when folks go to hairadio.com a little later today, there's going to be a tab that says fan page. And there they'll have their own. Just hover over that, and you'll see the Vet Talk Radio page with all the details about upcoming shows, Michael Hopkins, the Angels, everything. So we're so excited to officially get that out there today. And this topic is one that I'm super, super hyped that you'll be able to share some details and behind-the-scenes talk that we might not be able to get into on today's broadcast. But I can tell you, it's coming up real soon with more of this. So this is really going to be interesting, Michael. Now, I have to say, because this subject, as we said at the top of this is a huge topic, Michael. What else can you tell us about folks who can actually represent the veterans in these cases? What else can you tell us?
Well, one of the things I can also tell you and the fans out there, as with any other government regulations, there are certain things that they're supposed to do as representing you. They're supposed to be diligent. They're supposed to be competent. They're supposed to deliver the complete package to you when they're helping you. And they're supposed to be accountable with helping you, Carrie. That these
wow,
are the things
wow,
that the VA insists if they grant you your accreditation. They have to be, their duties have to be faithful when they're doing this for you because they're representing you. this could be something that you win a claim, this could turn your whole life around, Carrie.
Wow.
It really can. It turned my whole life around.
It sounds like it. Is this something where folks, if you, you know, the vets who are tuned in now and who listen to you every week, if they have questions about this in between your broadcasts, they'll be able to go to the HAIRadio.com website and to the Vet Talk page. You'll see a tab under the, we have one that says Fan Talk or Fan Page. That's where you will be able to see the Vet Talk Radio Show tab. And I'm so excited because I want the folks tuned in to be able to go there and ask questions. So you could submit questions at the bottom of the page. And again, all this will be set up today. So a little later on today, after we wrap today's broadcast, we'll direct you there. Again, HAIRadio.com. Look for the Vet Talk Radio page there. So, Michael Hopkins, this is just a preview on this November 30th of this topic and this conversation. Let me ask you, has it been, what made you think of this as something that you wanted to delve into? Have there been a lot of complaints or things that didn't quite, have folks been taken advantage of? It kind of sounded like what you were alluding to earlier. Have there been a few folks who have been taken advantage of?
Oh, yes. Yes, Carrie. I've run into so many veterans that they've been taken advantage of. I had one veteran, and all he had to do was order his records, his medical records. And there was a guy that
sounds
was trying
simple.
To charge him. And it's real simple, and it's free. That's the sad part about it, Carrie. It's free.
Wow.
This gentleman charged him $250
for something that he could do for free.
Form.
Michael, this is why Vet Talk Radio Show is so critical. And this is why we are just expanding. And I think it's a good time to kind of work everybody on in. Again, let me just bring everybody up to speed for Michael and the Vet Talk Radio Show folks, and this is just going to be amazing. So, Michael, you've got a lot to talk about with this subject, and so we'll be continuing on as we move along. I really just am blown away, and I've got to say, we'll be continuing to delve into it. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Let me work on in back to your wonderful group in just a bit. So, Michael Hopkins, what else? Anything in closing on this for this particular episode on the wonderful claims, who can actually represent the vets? Anything else you'd like to share? Let me just let Michael wrap it on up. Michael, take it away.
Sure, Karen. I would just love to have the fans, their families, to tune back in when we do an expanded version of this so that they will fully understand how this works so they won't get taken advantage of. I mean, I have an issue with that when it's my veteran brothers and sisters who worked hard, who did they did what they were supposed to do, and we get taken advantage of.
Well, Michael, let's move that to the next show. Let me bring everybody in. And what we'll do, we'll remind everybody that coming up next week, what you've got going on.
Right. We're going to
be
working on Pearl Harbor Day.
Wow.
December 7th, 1941. And we have some things going on. My angels, they, when they get on here, they'll tell you what they're going to be doing.
Yes,
and it's
well,
going to be a lot of
them
fun.
On in. We brought everybody in to close out today's show, kind of wrap things up. But Nur Jahan, Katrina, Nicole, you guys have just joined us on the line. So, just first of all, again, welcome to the show. It's been amazing to hear all of this as far as my ears are concerned. Nur Jahan, are you there this morning?
I am. Good morning, Carrie.
Okay, good morning. Yes, so first of all, and for the Michael's Angels, the panel, the producers who helped Michael out, what do you guys have to say? Nora, what are you saying this morning on what you've just heard?
Well, as usual, I'm taking notes again because I'm just learning so much.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Taking it all in because I can share it with other vets that I speak to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Katrina, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Texas. What do you have to say?
I'm like nerd. I'm in like wow. With Michael, I'm learning so much.
Exactly. Michael, we're saluting you. Good job. Absolutely good job.
Thank you.
Nicole, yes, and Nicole from Water Valley. Nicole, you there this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Yes, welcome, welcome. Listen, you guys, Nicole, let me just give you equal time. What did you hear this morning? Anything that's left an impression with you?
Well, I always learn great information. Michael always shares great information, and just like Nur, I'm always taking notes. I have heard some of this before just because my husband has filed a claim before, and he has been approached by some people that have not been so honest. So I know that this is so true, and I'm so glad that Michael has shared this so people can be on the lookout for, accredited people that are willing and able to represent you.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this is just mind-boggling to me, and we're going to delve more into this. Now, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you guys to all the folks. Michael, to what you're doing, Michael Hopkins, to educate and inform the veterans out there, and to those who are not veterans, but we know veterans, and almost all of our lives have been touched by veterans in one way or another. And you have the best producers in the world helping you with this, with Michael's Angels, and we're doing such a great job on the show. So let me just remind everybody that next Tuesday you're doing, as you mentioned, Pearl Harbor Day. Literally on Pearl Harbor Day, it'll be Michael's whole thing will be devoted to these folks. And maybe we can get on a little bit more claimant talk. And then on the subsequent shows, we'll do a whole hour special on this topic. I think it's such a big, big thing, and I think you've just peeled a little bit of the, back the layer there this morning on the show. So, Michael, let me let you take it away, Michael Hopkins. Anything else you want to add to that this morning?
Oh, yes, Carrie. It's like I always say, it's all about the veterans. That's what this
all
is
about.
All about.
Wow. That is just amazing. So I'm very, very grateful. And what we'll do, Nicole, we'll get some of your amazing spotlights back on. Next week, I promise, we'll get them back on. We've got to just do some work behind the scenes here. And you guys, where Nicole kind of shares with you on some of the folks who surprises us that they are veterans. And I was just listening, like I heard one of the folks earlier today, I said, my God, I didn't know this gentleman was a veteran as well. So we want to talk more about that as well and get your vets who are tuned in to press one and speak up. So we'll get them on for next week's broadcast on the special Pearl Harbor. They'll be able to call in as well. I think it's going to be exciting at 8:30 next Tuesday. So that is going to be just great on December 7th. Michael, I'm giving you the last word, Michael Hopkins, and then our outro.
Right. Stand by and tune in to Vet Talk Radio Show.
Okay. On that note, Angels, thank you. Michael's Angels, great job. And we'll get our outro started. Yes, great job. Now, folks, tune in again next week for Vet Talk Radio Show. We'll have a little bit more. And later today, go to the Vet Talk Radio Show page at HAIRadio.com. All right, it's time for the outro. All right, have a great day, folks.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins.
produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at fixyourfeet.com.